towards the corner at the 400. Incentivise is moving up now. Then Delphi, a length and a half away, battling on from Montefilia Nonconformist. Great House has cut the corner, followed by Jewish Homesman. Incentivise goes for home, 250 out. Incentivise races clear. Two lengths in front of Persan. Great House, Nonconformist, Montefilia, followed by Chapada. But Incentivise is coming away. Four lengths in front. And Incentivise, what a star, won the Caulfield Cup from Nonconformist. Dead heat third, Persan or Montefilia?
Oh, listen, it's unbelievable, Richo. You know, Caulfield was my home for probably 16 or 17 years and trained a couple of thousand winners here, but never this one. So it was very important to win it. You know, he gives you a little heart flutter. He hits that bit of a flat spot, sort of coming down the side. But, you know, he just kept building and super effort.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I got a top of the hill probably at 1,200 it is, and I thought, well, game on. And actually, I was surprised. He come off the ridle a bit sooner than I would have liked. And I sort of showed him the whip before the home turn. And all that's telling me is, look out, Melbourne Cup. He's going to eat the 32. He's exciting. He's probably one of the most exciting horses I've ridden. And it's beautiful.
He's what we need right now. Brett Preble is jockey. Peter Moody's his trainer, is with us now. Pete, congratulations. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jared. Very exciting day. Very special day there on Saturday.
Did it mean a bit to you?
Oh, for sure. You know, there's a lot of personal satisfaction. And, you know, I found the win very gratifying. You know, as I said there earlier, Caulfield was my home deck for a lot of years. And I'd won all the features there except that one. The one that counted, everyone told me. And, it was very special. It really was.
It was a really interesting build-up, Pete, as everyone was telling you this was the hole in your CV, this is what you should be aiming to win. You are much more philosophical than that, and you have dealt with immense pressure before preparing a champion racehorse. How did you find the build-up?
No, I was actually very relaxed because the horse made me that way. He had a real sort of effortless, sort of excuseless campaign, and I was very confident that he'd built off his very good previous couple of wins. So that sort of, you know, really steeled my resolve to think, well, none of those horses could beat him. I didn't think the staying form out of Sydney was any stronger than ours. So, you know, I really thought it was only going to be, you know, misfortune or severely inclement weather that was going to bring us undone. And Saturday morning, we were obviously quite nervous with the rain, the way it was hanging around, but then as we got the bit of breeze and the weather picked up during the day and the track improved, you know, I was happy to sit back and let it unfold.
I went to bed Friday night wondering whether the whole thing might get cooled off, such was the rain. We're not far from Caulfield, such was the rain was falling. What did you think Friday night when you started to hear what the weather was?
Yeah, well, I'm up there in the hills at South Belgrave and with a tin roof, which I really enjoy, but I wasn't enjoying it Friday night. Sounded like a hurricane outside, but a bit of wind and a slight bit of rain makes it sound a lot worse. So I was thinking, oh, well, it wouldn't be the worst thing if they put it back to Sunday. But no, I was pretty happy to wake up Saturday morning and have a good chat to Jason Kerr, who I know very well, the track manager there at Caulfield. And congratulations to him and the team too. Didn't the track race unbelievably fair there over the few days for the racing they had on it and the weather they had. And you know, after having a chat to him, and he suggested that he thought the weather band had already bypassed the track. This was at about 6:30 Saturday morning. I took great heart from it because there was a fleeting moment there talking with Steve Tregay and the boys that, you know, if it was going to be heavy and continue to rain, we were going to give strong consideration to speaking to the stewards and withdrawing the horse and waiting for the Cox Plate. But thankfully that didn't eventuate, and it all sort of unfolded as we would have liked, and Brett's sort of script went very much to plan, how he wanted to ride the race and how it panned out for him. And when he sort of tucked in behind Percy and going past a mile there, I thought, well, you know, no excuses now, boy.
Mm. What would have been the tipping point for the scratching, Pete?
Oh, I don't know, mate. The tipping point probably would have been if there was going to be rain throughout the day, which destroys all tracks, yep. You know. But tracks will handle rain before and after, but if it's raining while that races are actually on, that's when... you know, any horse, even wet trackers, have trouble, you know.
You might have just heard the end of Brock before for our times here in Melbourne. This is just the sort of horse that we need. A thrilling galloper, a bold on pacer, front runner if he needs to be, and trying to take aim at a historic double that we haven't seen for too long. Do you have that sense of what he means to us at the moment?
Well, it's been a pretty shitty time for all of us the last 18 months, 2 years, hasn't it? So anything to lift the spirits of people, and racing's been unbelievably buoyant. You know, we've seen how much the D's lifted Melbourne, whether you supported them or not, the last month through that finals period and the doggies and that, you know, giving people great hope when there was not a lot of hope outside their front door. So if this horse can help ease people's pains, and hopefully Melbourne Cup Day might ease the public back out into the open a little bit, you know, I'm all for it, and I'm great to be able to play a part in it. You know, to see racing recognised for all the positives instead of quite often the negatives that people want to find, and, you know, let people appreciate, one, a great horse, but two, what a great sport and a great industry we've got, and how we've been able to, you know, fight off this pandemic and keep the industry going throughout it. You know, it's been a phenomenal, Herculean task by administrators and participants side by side to keep us going.
So you've worked with great horses in the past, Pete. What is it about Incentivise? What makes him special?
Listen, I'm not really sure, to be honest. Like, I, as you know, I've only probably had him in my care for, what, 3 or 4 months now. So I'm still learning about him every day. And he's a horse at home that you don't do a lot with because he's got an unbelievable sort of aerobic capacity. So we don't train him at home. It's not as if you see him working blisteringly on the track to say, oh, I can't wait to get this to the races or that. Not like a Black Caviar, who was totally brilliant in everything she did. He's just a real tradesman around the place. He's got a couple of quirky little habits. And but you just get a sense that, you know, each time we've taken him to the races or done something with him, he just does it with a bit of class and a bit of quality, and not too much phases him when he's under saddle with a rider on his back. And he takes it all in his stride. Race day's teaching us more about him than anything in to what ability he's got, because we're not seeing that at home and not asking him for it at home because we don't need to.
He's drawn vibes, Might and Power vibes, I reckon, for a few months for the story, for the way that he races. He drew some comparisons to Northerly too on the weekend. Do you see traits of champions, legends of the past in him?
Well, he's got an unbelievable fight, hasn't he? Those two wins at Flemington, he was there to be beaten the length of the straight. And he just kept building and building. So I suppose he's got that little bit of Northerly. And because he was up on the pace, people throw in the Might and Power factor. But, you know, he's got a long way to go to equal those two horses. But he's building and headed in the right direction, isn't he? You know, I don't think they'd build a record like him at this age. But bearing in mind that, you know, he sort of didn't kick off until he was four, where Might and Power is racing through his sort of back end two-year-old and three-year-old season to building into a horse. This horse was given plenty of time to grow and develop by his owner, breeder and former trainer, Steve Tregay. So, you know, I think that's standing him in very good stead at the moment. But those fighting qualities are, you know, there to be seen. Probably a little bit unusual for him. He's not the prettiest horses in the legs department. He's a bit knock-kneed and toes out on both legs, particularly his off foreleg. And that's why he sort of struggles on the turns. But when he's in a straight line, he builds. And we saw that at Caulfield on Saturday. He sort of lost momentum a couple of times turning. But then when he straightened out and flattened out and those big sort of spindly legs of his, which go sort of each direction you don't really want to see them go, can get some sort of alignment. He then keeps building. And that was probably on show at Flemington more so, where the length of the straight, it looked like halfway down the straight, you thought, well, this horse is going to get beat. But the further he sort of builds in that straight line, he gains momentum and there's no stopping. He just keeps building. And listening to Brett Prebble this morning, you know, and I think it made very good sense. He said a lot of horses would out-sprint him, but they can only sprint for 200 or 300 metres, where this horse could consistently build probably over 700, 800, 900 metres and doesn't stop, where the horse, you know, a horse with a turn of foot will out-dash him, but he'll probably out-wear them, you know?
The long straight at Flemington, that sounds just about beautiful for him, Pete, in the way you've described it in a Melbourne Cup.
For sure, for sure. You know, you'd nearly wish that there was a straight or a dog leg sort of 2 mile track somewhere, probably a la some of those lovely big European tracks where he just continued to build. But, you know, we've seen him off the bridle around the bend in both his Flemington wins and at Caulfield on Saturday. But then when he does balance into the straight, he just continues to gain momentum.
How on edge are you for the Melbourne Cup penalty? So he has 55.5 at the moment. I don't know. What are you expecting, and what would perturb you?
Well, I think because he got that pretty hefty hike post the Maccabi, you know, Greg probably gave him, you know, 55.5 on Saturday, which he was thinking 53.5 tops pre that. I think because he got that penalty, this one will be significantly less, or I certainly would hope. And it is the handicapper's job to level out the field. And, I've got great respect for Greg Carpenter. He's very good at his job. And he'll want to see this horse have an opportunity. But at the same time, you've got to respect the fact that he's trying to equalise the field, a la that's what handicap racing is. But, you know, I take heart from the fact that Very Elegant only got a half kilo last year in beating an Epsom Derby winner. And with all respect to Nonconformist, who's really been one of the finds of the spring outside of my bloke, he was sort of no Epsom Derby winner. And then you draw that parallel from Very Elegant. I think she's got 56.5 in the cup. She's won 9 Group 1s. Our horse has won 3. And she did win the Caulfield Cup last year as well as a raft of weight for age races. So he couldn't be asked to give her significant weight, if any, I would have thought. So a kilo takes him to 56.5, the same weight as her. A kilo and a half takes him to 57. A half kilo more than her, and then you take in the 2 kilo allowance for a filly and a mare. So, you know, I would think, you know, around that kilo to kilo and a half is probably a fair penalty, besides the likes of Very Elegant. And Twilight Payment, well, he's the reigning champion, but I don't think you can read it. You know, he's got to be weighted on what he did last year. You can't read into the fact that he's gone home to Ireland and had 4 or 5 canter rounds to get ready for this year. So you've got to take that off the table and weight him on one run. That was his win last year. You've got to forget that he's been defeated since and having barrier trials in Ireland like they do over there for 9 months of the year and have a crack for 3 months. So, I think a kilo and a half tops, I'd reckon. Any more?
So 57,
I think 57's a borderline,
If he got more than that, Pete, if he did, say he landed with 58, is there any weight that you would go, I'm not sure whether we'll front up here?
Oh, listen, I'm not going to go putting that threats over the handicapper. That's a discussion the ownership group and myself would have. You know, this horse has got a long future ahead of him. He's going to the races for the 13th time in the Melbourne Cup. If we thought it was a task that was going to be detrimental to the horse's future, these men are all of a mind that they've raced a lot of good horses. They wouldn't want to see him destroyed.
The Cox Plate, is that definitely off the table?
Yep. You know, he was a little bit jaded post the win yesterday for the first time, but I'm happy to say he's really bounced back this morning, so much so that I just let him off the truck at Werribee Equine Centre where he's down for his Melbourne Cup scans, and he was bloody full of beans this morning. So sort of took him, you know, 24, 36 hours to bounce back, but I'm glad that this morning I can say, yes, he has bounced back, because yesterday morning he was feeling the run for the first time this campaign. So I took great heart when I saw his ears pricked and the feet in shiny this morning.
And for you, Pete, you've got the short-priced favourite in a Melbourne Cup. You've got the Caulfield Cup on the shelf. This is the second time through. Is it different for you this time around? Is it thrilling? How are you feeling about it?
Oh, listen, I'm a lot more relaxed about life these days, Jared. You know, I've lived through the story of the great mare and you lived that with me. So, you know, we used to get a bit wound up then, but now I'm pretty much more relaxed these days. We take it as it comes. And I think that comes with the enjoyment of having great people around me and having a much smaller operation. We can sit back and enjoy it. And sort of what'll be will be, you know, we just want to see the horse get to the races in one piece, to give himself a chance. And that's why I was so relaxed on Saturday in the Caulfield Cup, because the horse gave himself every possible chance. What have we got, 16 or 15 more sleeps until the Melbourne Cup? Let's hope he continues on the same path that he has. I'm not going to suggest that he will improve off the Caulfield Cup, but if he can hold, he'll go there and give himself every chance to perform on the first Tuesday in November.
the Cups double holds such a place in our imaginations, Pete. How big would it be to complete it? What is it, a couple of decades on?
Oh, listen, it'd be an unbelievable field. You know, I was a bit taken aback by Saturday in the Caulfield Cup, but, every kid that's ridden a horse or a pony or anything, dreams of Melbourne Cup glory from the time they could, climb on the back of one. And I'm no different. You know, the Melbourne Cup is Australia's race. It's been probably removed from us for quite a few of the last decades by these international horses. It's nice to have a homegrown product. Can't get more on Aussie than him. Buy a schnitzel stallion out of an Iglesia mare, born and bred in the Darling Downs of Queensland, owned in Australia. It's going to be a great sort of fairy tale Australian story, and let's hope he's good enough to hold off the Raiders.
Let's hope so. Pete, great to chat. Congratulations and good luck for the next 2.5 weeks.
Thanks, Jared.
Peter Moody, trainer of Incentivise. So Cox Plate off the table and full of beans this morning as he goes for his Melbourne Cup scans. Darryl's posed the idea, loved what Incentivise did on Saturday. Do you think if he did the double, is it a lesser achievement because no internationals? No, I don't, Darryl. His Spanish Mission represents the best staying form in the world, having challenged Stradivarius. He'll be there. He's got 57. I expect that Incentivise will have the same weight. The very presence of that horse will make it a world-class race. And David, how absolutely thrilling will it be on Melbourne Cup Day when he hits the 400 and we all hold our breath to see if Incentivise can kick clear and hold on.